Good morning, dear ma'am listeners, and welcome to this show. Today is Friday, October 29, 2021, and we are broadcasting live from Valletta, Malta. As you know, we usually discuss about everyday issues that migrant communities encounter here in Malta, for instance, and in Europe and or other Western countries in general. But we never really discuss of how this adventure begins. And this show today would be dedicated on that. So on this show, basically, we would speak about some points that we believe some migrants from Africa that intend to migrate here in Europe should know before making that, you know, leap of faith. I am here today with my dear friend over here, Regine.
Hi.
Good morning, Regine.
Good morning, Lauren. Good morning. And we are so happy to be here today. And if you live in Malta, if you are in Malta now, you know that the weather outside there, it is so bad. It is raining cats and dogs, actually, as they say. My umbrella broke. I got wet. Yeah. So really, today it is. But we wanted to be here because, as Lorenzo said, the topic is so interesting. The Europe that they don't show you on TV while you are still in Africa.
I mean, I know for my fellow African people that, you know, Europe for you is like an El Dorado, you know, like everybody wants to come over here because it glitters from what you see on TV in Africa and stuff like that. And yes, at some aspects it does glitter, and it's at some aspects are very nice and very tempting, which is why I can understand why you guys are tempted so much to come here, even to the point of risking your life to some aspect, you know.
Yeah.
But I believe this is also part of it, like a marketing show. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, I think we should say things the way they are. This is to me like a marketing show, the same way that, you know, Europe have some glittering and stuff like that. Africa also have some stuff, but yet on the TV here in Europe, at least, they never show you the nice aspects of Africa, which is a pity. Today, we're going to expose not very sexy aspects of Europe when you guys migrate, because I have noticed that there are a lot of disillusions when people come over here with regards to lots of aspects.
Absolutely, absolutely. And let me just add to what you just said. The title of the show is the Europe that they don't show you and things to know before migrating. I remember it's still happening, but less and less, because if someone asked me, should I come to Europe, I will say immediately no. Try to find a way in Africa if you can do it there. Unless at the second thought, then yes, you might do it. When students still in Africa send me messages on what from whichever channel, I always ask, have you tried another university in Africa, maybe, you know, because there is something that maybe, let's get into the subject, which for me it is the problem that many Africans have not experienced while they are still at home, and which unless you actually live it, you will never understand what is it and how it can be hurtful. Racism. What is racism? That will be the first thing that any African will discover here in Europe. It is so immaterial. It is sometimes invisible. It is just in the air. So you will not explain to someone what it is. And yet that is one of the reasons for which Africans suffer the most.
And you are so right, because I remember having a conversation with a lady once. So I was living in France back then. And I remember having a conversation with this lady who was back then in Africa, telling me that she would like to come to Europe and that she's so enthusiastic about it and that, you know, life would be so much better after she comes here in Europe. And then there I come telling her, lady, please calm down. I don't think it's a good idea for you to come to Europe.
Yeah.
Obviously, we were not friends anymore for like months.
No, for sure. Because they will tell you, okay, you are living good life there, then you don't want me to
enjoy, exactly. You know? And basically, it is a bit difficult for them to understand and to go beyond what we're trying to say. Actually,
yes.
All you guys just see is just that we don't want you to come to Europe, you know. And it is not entirely that, because there are issues everywhere. As Regine said, there is a lot of racism.
Yeah.
Just to have your ID documentation, it is another how do you say, like, you know, way in the desert, you know, you spend a lot of time. I would give you some examples that I personally have experienced and witnessed. I had migrated in France a number of years ago. Mm-hmm. I was still very young, but old enough to see what was happening, you know, around me. And now I was blessed enough not to have a lot of difficulties, but the things that I have seen, I am denouncing and exposing them right now because it is absolutely scandalous. One of the things that I did is that when I was requesting my documentation to the relevant authorities, to the relevant building in Paris, mm-hmm. You should know that, first of all, the building opens at 9 o'clock in the morning. I showed up over there the very first time around 7:30, thinking I would be early enough to be received.
Yes.
And I was so surprised to see that there was a very long queue. And when I say a long queue, it would be like hundreds of people, you know. And when I discussed with some of them, I understood that some of them have been waiting there, like, you know, since 4 o'clock in the morning, some even at 3 o'clock in the morning. And by the way, as a side note, you know, some of these migrants would make a business out of it, literally,
they would sell spots.
They would sell their spots, exactly. You know, one would show up there at 3 o'clock in the morning and another one would show, let's say, at 8:30 in the morning, and he would need his document in an urgent way, you know. And the guy that has been there at 3 o'clock in the morning doesn't need his documents, but he would say, okay, if you want my spot, give me 200 euros there and then, you know. So this is something I'm denouncing as well. because this is absolutely not normal. But this is how it goes. And to make things even worse, you know, the relevant department would be open at 9 o'clock and is supposed to close at 5 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Yet when it opens, sometimes even at 9:30, you know, that's where my tax money was going, unfortunately. You know, they would receive the first 10 people, you know, and it would last, the opening time would last 30 minutes, and then they would be closed for the entire day, you know. So the hundreds of other people that have been waiting over there, it's like for nothing. So these are things, my fellow African people, that they don't show you on TV.
Yes. And that's even the least...
Yes.
Difficult, because what you just said happens in Malta as well. I remember this, maybe you came as a student, so you came on a regular way. Think of in Malta, a country where the majority of Africans living here are coming from the irregular way. So they have a specific office where they have to request their documents. The same line that you just mentioned in France happens here as well. That says you have, for them to receive their document, for those who are entitled to it, they want to see the children if they are couples. So the father, the mother, and the child must be there present. Again, the office opened at 7 and it closed at 12 officially. So migrants slept in front of that building. They arrived with family, food, bags at 8 p.m. to be the first to be received the day after.
As soon as
under
it's open,
the rain, under the winter, under whatever weather condition, they stay there. Because being asylum seekers, if you don't show up at your appointment date, you just lose the opportunity. You are not given a second chance. So these are some of the things that until you really leave, then you realize how much your life is not valued. So you are just a number. It might also be not that important for someone who is an African who's saying, you know, whatever conditions in Europe will be better than what I'm living here. But until you feel it on your skin, until you see how much your dignity has been worked upon, then you'll say worked over, then you'll think, do I even need this?
Exactly. Exactly. Do I even need that? It is so true, because it's like you feel like no one cares about you.
Yeah.
And this is a very, very, very sad feeling, because you feel lonely in a country that clearly doesn't care about you. And it's even worse than that, because they don't even want you to be there, actually, you know.
Yes.
And yet you still have at least your own mouth to feed. You still have to put a roof over your head. And without this documentation, you can't have any of that, because you will not be able to... Yeah. Have a place to live.
Yeah.
You will not be able to have a decent job, you know, without the very basic, which is the document. Now, this is just on the documentation side. But let's even talk about someone who, like me, came to Europe on a regular basis.
Yes.
I mean, if you come here to study, okay, I remember I know someone in my family that has come to study in Europe, and you know, she studied, I believe it was journalism or communications back in Africa, mm-hmm. like, you know, after she had her high school degree and stuff like that, you yes. know, and she continued her studies in Africa, and yeah. I think like she had like 3 years after high school, you know, the degree yes. over there, you yeah. know, yeah. and then when she came here in Europe, she was told all of that for nothing. You have to start after the high school again, you know? So it's like, you know, things like this
yes,
that African...
Your degree is just not valid.
It's
they
not
don't
valid
it,
in
yes.
Europe, and they don't recognize it. So I would say think twice before making that leap of faith.
Yeah.
It would only be recognized, if I may say so, if it is something very specific mm-hmm. that is not being done in Europe.
Yeah.
Let's say you're a brain surgeon, for example.
Yeah.
You know, you might come here in Europe and you might be given some courses just for you to level up or have an equivalent here in Europe,
yes.
obviously, which would be valid in Africa, but the reverse is not true, you know. So, yes, in this case, you might be considered, but really and truly, in most of the cases, no, you know.
And actually, to add to that, because you come here with those degrees that you received in Africa, and then you arrive here, they are not recognized. And as you were saying before, you have to put a roof over your head. You need a roof over your head, and you have to put the food on the table. So you need a job.
Exactly.
So here you are with your high school.
With your nice degrees.
And
your
long-term. And you're looking for a job. What is it proposed to you at first time as they look at you? Cleaning. That is your natural, you know, let's say your natural competences. I want to say.
You have the skin for it.
You have the skin for it. You are a cleaner by nature, you know. That's why you are giving at first without even thinking, listening to you, whatever good you are, whatever you can do, for sure you can clean. So someone might insist on, you know, I need to work within my skills. And after a month, after 2 months, how many brothers who are here with all those fancy degrees, those good degrees that are cleaning?
Exactly.
Because they need to survive.
They need to survive, some of them. And because they need to survive, some of them do not even have the courage or the means to resume studying again, to have an equivalent, even regardless of how long it might be. I mean, becoming a surgeon, it's like, you know, I believe in France, to become a doctor, you have to spend at least 8 years, if not more, in university, in med university, you know. I don't know how long here in Malta, but imagine you have to undergo all of those 8 years again. You know,
at the same time,
you still have to eat. You still have to put a roof over your head.
Yes,
it's just not easy.
No, it's not. It's not easy. It's actually, speaking on the example of Malta, how many African students just drop out from university because they cannot make it anymore? Because while in Malta, as we are here, the university is free for European citizens and for Maltese. It is extremely expensive for Africans.
Oh, I didn't know that, actually.
Absolutely. Let me give you an example of, let's say, journalism course that I did. The journalism degree, it is free for European citizens, for Maltese students. For an African, every year it is 5,000 euros.
Wow.
1 year.
Wow.
That is 4,800 euros that you have to pay every year. And that's only the fees. Then you have to rent a place. You have to eat. So if you don't have around, let's say, 8,000 euros every year, you cannot become a journalist in Malta. You cannot have that degree. This is how much it is expensive.
Okay.
So think that you come here with your parents, putting all that money, and then you need to work maybe... For you to survive, is it even possible? Is it even if your father is not, you know, that rich man there? So really, think twice, really, about before thinking that I'm going to study in a
And then you
like
forget
that.
One of the most important aspects of being a migrant here in Europe is that you have to feed your family
back home
behind.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Because they see in you like a hope of a better future,
yes.
You know, so they would feel, especially if they have sacrificed everything that they have for you to get here in Europe,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They would expect I would say it boldly, like a return on investment. Let's face it.
Absolutely. That is really that, you know, return in investment. This is marketing, you know.
It's like a return on investment, you know. Yes, it's like, so it's like you're going through all of these difficulties that they even know nothing about for most of the time. And I think you should tell them the difficulties
absolutely,
that you're experiencing
absolutely.
Here.
I agree with you. You know, there's that right, the Senegalese right, Fatou Diome, who said and repeated that
you
must
should
tell back
them.
Home what's happening
You should
here.
Tell them. Yeah. Like, how if you don't have a decent place to live, especially in winter, and you sleeping out there under the bridges or what, so tell them that it is like the very few hundred euros that you send to them, it's like out of a huge sacrifice. You know, it's not an easy thing to do, basically. So yes, I think you should tell them. And you know, every month trying to, first of all, feed yourself,
which
and
is,
then feed your family over there, you know, take care of medical expenses over there, because you know, hospital is not free, not in Africa at least, and this kind of stuff, you know. And then at the same time trying to evolve professionally, you know, whether it's, you know, starting with studying and or directly training yourself to be, you know, high professionally.
What you want to become,
And then eventually, let's say you decided to study or not, or you decided to apply for a decent job.
Yeah.
You know, not
yeah.
that cleaning is not a decent job. Please don't get me wrong.
Well, you know, if you have a degree in communication, you don't want to end up as a cleaner.
Exactly.
That's clear.
So let's say you want a better job and stuff like that, and then you apply. I mean, in Europe, at least, from my experience, if they see you as a migrant, especially if you're not European, you don't have the priority.
Exactly.
The law is very clear with the EU legislation. If a company is looking for someone, a position to fill, they first have to, how
the
can I say,
choice.
Like, exactly, their very their priority has to be the nationals of the country itself.
Yes.
If there is no one that they can find within that scope, then they have to open up, in this case, in EU nationals.
Yes.
If there is no one they can find in the EU national, then they open up to the world, you know. But clearly, as an African, usually you don't have the priority.
No, you don't.
Let's say
because
this.
Even if when they open to the world, you still don't have the priority, because they will open to the East Europe, to South America, to you will always
so
be on the bottom of the of,
for
of
you
the list.
To be selected in this kind of specific job, the company has to prove that they haven't found anyone in their country.
Yes.
In EU or in these developed countries like the US, Japan, or whatsoever,
and
you know.
And then they come
to you. Then after, only after they come to you. So you don't have the priority.
No, you don't have the priority.
It's
like,
this is for very specific jobs, because even for, like, you know, normal jobs and whatsoever, usually, I mean, I have applied to jobs where I send my CV online and whatsoever, you know, my CV without picture, by the way.
Yes.
And then the person will tell me, like, okay, can you send me a picture, a CV with your picture over there? And as soon as I say as soon as I send a picture of myself, let's face it, you know, not even one day after, he will tell me, like, okay, you're not fitting for the job.
No, for sure.
You know,
immediately.
I wonder why, you know, when before, in the very first mail, he would tell me, like, okay, you have all the competence and the skills that I'm looking for. If you can just send me a CV with your picture, you know, so clearly you just make 2 and 2.
Yes, you make 2 and 2. Actually, so, it is actually this practice is actually illegal, but it is illegal on the paper, as so many things here are illegal. We are talking about racism here. You have to know that everything that we've been talking about, profiling, which they call profiling, it is illegal here. But I mean, everyone is doing it, from the official to the policeman to it is just the way things are done here. And I wanted to touch another difficult aspect of life, the life of Africans here. It is the loneliness.
Yes.
Because this is something that's also, you cannot feel it until actually you leave it.
Yes,
we coming from a community cultures where we are used to gathering,
sharing everything, the neighbors are part of
family.
Exactly,
you just go knock
the
door in front of you to ask for a bit of salt or sugar, and then you say hello to everyone on the street.
You know, the neighbor's family and everything. It's like, you know, the neighborhood is like your family, actually. You
know, the neighbor's your family. I call my neighbors back in Cameroon my cousins, for how close we are.
Of course, of course. And it is so true, because it goes deep to the point that I mean, I don't know how many apartments I have rented in France and even here in Malta. In Malta, it's a bit different, I must admit, in a good way.
Yeah.
But in France, I did not know what my neighbor looked like.
Never spoken with next door
I don't
neighbor.
Even know what the neighbor looks like. If it's a man or a woman, if she's blonde, if she's brown hair, if she's red, I wouldn't know what they look like. So this is how, you know, lonely you can feel, you know.
Yes.
And there is this type of loneliness, and there's also a type of loneliness that, you know, you're surrounded by people, but you don't know, no one understands you.
Exactly.
And to me, this kind of loneliness is even worse.
It's worse, yes. Because you have
because no one would understand that you feel lonely, yes, you know. So yeah. It's like, so actually that's how depression begins, in my opinion.
Yeah. Because let's say you're going through all what you just explained about documentation. You wake up at 3 a.m. and then you are not being welcomed, you are not being attended to, and you cannot renew your documents. You have the job pending, you cannot find the job that you need. You have to clean, accept any job. So you have all these issues. You can talk to someone back home, but they don't understand actually what is going on here, because they say, but at least you have a job. At least, you know, this at least that the for them, it is only what they see, you know. Here maybe you were eating once a day, now there you eat 3 times a day. What they don't see is that 3 times a day it is the chicken wings, because you don't have enough money to change your menu. And you need to talk to someone on how you feel. There is no one you can talk to.
There is none.
And that loneliness, as you say, can actually lead to depression. And let me come to Malta. We also have, we mentioned about the community, we are social animals, you know. African, we like dancing, we like entertaining, we like going outside, we like just meeting, you know. And here in Malta,
together. Uh-huh.
There is this place, the entertainment place here, which is called Pashville. That's where
the nightlife.
When you are 20 years old, 25, 26, even 30, 40, depending on how much you like, that's the place to go. In Malta, it is documented, proven that African people have been denied access to nightclubs in Pashville for the ground that they are black. The bouncer will not shy away from telling a black person that you cannot get in, because we already have the number of black people that is needed in the nightclub.
Throw them at court.
They just tell you that, and nothing happens to them. You are so scandalous. We had an intern here, a French guy, who was there with his friends, all of them, and they witnessed that scene.
Wow.
They were so shocked that they actually started a fight with the bouncer because of the black guy who was there. And they say, we cannot get into such a place. How is it even possible that things happen?
Wow.
And yet they happen. You know, and there are stories of black men who were beaten because they wanted to force the entry. They're actually the story of a black man who was killed some years back. And the killers are outside walking free men, basically. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Because they beat a guy from Somalia who was trying to force the access into the nightclub. So these are things that are happening. What changed? What brought it to?
Sorry to interrupt you. Interestingly enough, as I was saying at the beginning of this show, this is just for marketing purposes, because I mean, on the TV they would show, like, and I believe it's true here in Malta, nightclubs are free. Entrance is free in the nightclub.
Yes, entrance is free, and then you pay for your.
But they wouldn't show you. They wouldn't show you that, you know, they have They have a black quota, a black people quota. You know.
Yes, they have a black people quota. You know,
it's enough. You know, it's like, you know. I mean, I even wonder how the guy from every person that he lets inside the nightclub, he still has the chance to count the amount of black people he lets in. I'm just like, wow. You know, it's like. But yeah, I mean, this is my point. It is really marketing. It's like, you know, they wouldn't show you that they have a quota for black people over there.
No.
They would just show you that nightclubs are free.
Free, yeah, yes.
You know, which to me, yeah, it reflects reality, but not all the reality. Let's say that.
No, it doesn't reflect the what's happening in Malta, in Pashville, for example, in that place of entertainment. It has been such a difficult experience for many Africans, until one day they did the same thing to an American who was actually don't quote me on that, either the son of an ambassador or something, someone very well placed.
So that was it.
And they hit hard at them. So now, once, even though they continue, they look at you, they hear your accent. They see, you know, they actually check you. Maybe this is an European, this is an American. So they don't, they're not anymore, you know, like Africa. The problem here, it is Africa. If you have an African accent in Pacheville, it is most likely that you will not get in the nightclub until you are with white friends. This is how much the thing is awful.
And I think the fact that we are African from our skin color is very visible. So
here we're talking about the fact that before coming to Europe, it is very much important that you know how things work here. It is good to know, it is good to listen. People are not telling you guys don't come because you know
we don't want you to enjoy the European life, you know. It's not that.
It can be very hard, and there are a lot of books, not even book talks, testimonies. People have spoken up about what's going on here. And I want to tell something about African leaders who actually advocate for, you know, the doing business in Africa. The Ghanaian president, Nana Akufo-Addo, who is a great advocate, you know, for, you know, Africa beyond aid, who is saying that, you know, you can make it in Africa. You don't need to come to Europe to save, to be whatever you want to become.
And I would give you a perfect proof of that. The European people know very well what opportunities there are in Africa. Otherwise, they would not be migrating over there to start their business.
Absolutely.
Look at companies like, I don't know, Total, or this kind.
Areva,
they know very well what opportunities you guys have in Africa.
The wealth.
You're just the only ones not seeing it.
Exactly.
You know, so it's if this doesn't speak volumes, I don't know what can speak volumes.
Indeed,
really and truly.
You know. Yeah. And also because if this doesn't speak volume, at least listen to the cries of those who die at sea, or those who came here to study and keep on telling you, because there are people who tell. I remember when Donald Trump said that those people coming from those shithole country, and all many of African were scandalous. How can he say that? And he should excuse him. If he should, to be honest with you, and I am looking at you, I agreed with Donald Trump. Excuse me? Are those places not shithole? Because if it was so good, what are you doing ready to do whatever to come to Europe? And there was a Nigerian man who posted a video, a 5-minute rant video, saying that, look, I am here in the America doing this job. When I study engineering in Nigeria, I am doing 4 jobs to survive. He was explaining what he was doing. Say, why do I have to do that? Why am I not going back to Nigeria? Mm-hmm. Because I will not have, you know, the minimum of life that I am here.
The dignity why, that
yeah,
he
the
deserves.
Dignity. I why is it that my president, when he's sick, goes to get
treatment in London, exactly.
Why doesn't he have his treatment in Africa? Because hospitals are not good. Why all the students all young people want to go to studies in abroad? Why is it that we are migrating? There should be a reason. So if you don't want to dig into that reason, so I mean, don't ask the guy to excuse himself.
No, absolutely.
It might be awful what he said.
Absolutely.
But when you analyze the situation, that is the reality of
it. I mean, I believe what President Trump was trying to say is first clean up your house.
Then criticize, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Our house in Africa is not clean. I would say one of the biggest reasons is because of the majority of idiots of presidents, and I am saying it here, that are seated over there on the power, basically. I mean, let's face it, we have had presidents that have been, you know, president almost as long as Queen Elizabeth II.
Exactly, yes.
So it's what are they doing there, you know? And the country is going worse and worse. So
it's very difficult, you know. This is the reason why we can understand why young people want to go, because when you are young, you have your future in front of you. You want to make something out of life because you have a lot of dreams.
Absolutely.
You know that you are capable of things, but not having those opportunities, we come back to what we said at the beginning of this show. Opportunities are not here in Europe. I mean, your life here will be.
There are not more opportunities in Europe than in Africa. Africa.
Exactly.
That's my point. It's like there are a lot of opportunities in Africa. It might take hard work, but all opportunities do take hard work.
Yes.
Let's face it, whether they are in Europe or in America or elsewhere in the world, you know. And my point is, if I had to give you an advice, unless you're in a very specific category of people, whether it's in studying or whatsoever and professionally, don't just come to Europe without considering all of these aspects.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. Those aspects are very important. If you don't know what racism is about, listen to Black South Africans. We have in Africa an example of apartheid. Racism, it is like apartheid. It's not just official, like it was lost, but this is the feeling. Read the story of South Africa and think that that's what happens in Europe, because that's what's happening here. It's not publicized, as we say, Europe, that they don't show you on TV. You are denied access to places that are public. It is written nowhere that forbidden to Black people, but it's actually forbidden to Black people.
I mean, and this even applies in education.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine, African of origin. She migrated to Europe, I don't know how long ago. And she decided to go for beauty, you know, in France. I don't know what is the equivalent here in English. But it's like she wanted to become a professional hairdresser with beauty salon and stuff like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And she decided to go into this private school that I believe was, I don't know, 10,000 euros a year or whatsoever, and she had to take like 2 or 3 years, something like that. You know, I'm not sure about the details, so please don't quote me on that. Mm-hmm. And she was so shocked that they were not having any curriculum about how to treat African hair. And I can understand her, because, I mean, I always say, where I put my money, my mouth is in there as well. You know, so if I pay 10,000 euros for a school in order to teach me how to be able to hairdress some people, I would want to know how to hairdress my own hair, you know, especially after 10,000 euros I have placed over there. You know, so it's kind of frustrating, because you would see that the educational path are not necessarily, how can I say, like, adapted to you, you know. And I think it's a pity, but then the same goes in Africa. I mean, the thing is, in Africa it is much easier to change that
than here in Europe. Yeah, you know, yes.
So yeah, these are small things, and like this, you think they are not relevant, but they are very
plus also even in health services.
Absolutely.
Recently, because of COVID, it was clear that the Black people were not attended to, because there are some a manifestation that were not spotted by doctors, because they didn't know how they happened to Black people. And there's that King's disease where you have those black spots that are not seen because they look like your color, and then doctors don't see it. And they say, you know, this is what do you have to?
Everywhere, in the beauty thing, because even if a black skin would like to have a makeup.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, you know, it might be difficult for them to go to a beauty salon, because they would say, oh, for your skin, we have a bit of difficulties, you know. And, and so it's like, it's kind of frustrating,
you know. It is difficult, yes, for sure.
But on the other hand, I like seeing the things on the bright hand side. Yeah. It's like, these are opportunities, because then it means there is a market.
Yeah, there is a market.
There is a need.
Yeah.
So you can start a business over here, you know. But again, if you have to start a business over here, why not start in Africa, where the biggest need is, because there are black people over there, you know, and then you can expand it here in Europe, you know. Yeah. So it's like, these are.
And with all this, we are saying that migration, it is a human right. So people have the right to migrate. You want to go wherever you want to go, this is your right. No one will stop you from going where you want to go if you really want to. It is what we're saying, that it is important to know where you are going.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. Think well, read, look up things.
Listen to people that have already gone through that.
Absolutely. And then make an informed decision. So when you are there in the place, you know, actually, yeah, this, I expected this. This more or less I expected it. You will never really be safe, because there are things that you will not expect, but at least you have something that you can talked about.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. And I would just add one last point, actually, for examples. So, and this is what I consider as an elementary right. Again, this is my personal opinion. When it comes to accommodation.
Yes.
When it comes to accommodation, I have experienced this in Europe.
Yes.
Malta, I don't remember. I have experienced so much that, it's like, yeah, it's a shame to admit it, you know, but I have experienced this so much that it is absolutely not normal, you know, that it is that much. But I have seen also an advertisement in France a couple of years back. I believe it was 2017, and it even went through the newspaper or social media, at least, where a real estate agency,
yes,
was advertising a house and saying, no black people.
Oh, really?
This is textbook illegal, you know. But clearly, as you can see, it doesn't stop them from doing the.
No, it doesn't stop them.
Absolutely.
There will be so many examples that we can remember here. But so many, there are so many abuse. There are things that are just illegal. Because again, we're talking about black people. We focus on in Africa, but don't forget that half of France, it is black. You have the Antilles. So black people are entitled in France, as they are entitled in the UK, as they are entitled in America, as they actually entitled
everywhere,
all over the world.
Everywhere,
there is no place, but the thing is that, you know, there is that system of discrimination that is very ingrained into the Western system, which makes life very difficult for people who are colored. So that was the point of this debate. Actually, there are a lot of points that we can still mention, but of course we don't want to keep you too long. It is interesting. It is difficult because we have to put some, we have to press some hard button hit hard into our feelings. But it is important to talk about, especially that we have friends, we have cousins, we have families who thinking of migrating. We need to tell you. So we coming to the end of this show. It was nice of you to listen to us, to watching at on Facebook. And the next topic will be discussed later. And we'll be back next week, certainly, either Saturday or Friday, because with the weather changing now, we cannot give a final appointment. So don't forget, as usual, to follow us on our social media accounts. We are on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, iTunes, and here on Facebook, and on our community radio, amamradio.com.
And we really appreciate your feedback, guys. And obviously, these are stuff on this subject that we have experienced or witnessed.
Yes.
As I always say, you are entitled to disagree. But yes, I would say, please disagree in a respectful way. You know,
yes.
Not in a harsh or in a rude way or whatsoever. So, yes. And we would all really love to have your feedback, your opinions about this. And, you know, we're looking at those like quite carefully. You
yes.
know?
And then I would like you to add something, because the last topic that we discussed about the female genital mutilation.
Yes, one of the topics. There was, I understood it was, it is my understanding that there was an incident on Facebook, one of the Facebook comments. I will not mention any names here whatsoever. This is absolutely not the point.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, our friend here, Thomas, I believe
Thomas,
was Thomas.
Yes,
huh?
yes.
When we were discussing about the FGM, the female genital mutilation, he did not necessarily, actually, he did not at all agree that this is something that should be going on, you know.
Yes.
His point was to try to explain why it was being established in the first place.
Yeah.
So, when you were listening to our shows and conversations, please listen carefully. Do not assume what has not been said and stuff like that. But I just wanted to make it very clear. I mean, even off the show, this you might not know, but even off the show, he repeated it to us, you know, off the air. And he said, of course, I cannot accept any abominations like this. These were his words. And I believe you can account
absolutely,
for
absolutely,
this. You know?
That was his words.
So
he was not defending at all FGM.
He was trying
to make the contract point
exactly
why the practice
why it was established and why it supervisor, but that doesn't mean that he agrees with that. And in fact, as a matter of fact, he doesn't. So we just wanted to make that clear.
Absolutely.
And, but we really thank you for your feedback, for your comments. We really appreciate it. So,
okay. So, be safe.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Por Cuba tengo la sangre caliente.